Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
This is the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network. Hockey is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. It's you, the diehard supportive fans, your favorite players who are on the team you cheer for and the organization who supports them.
The companies that make your gear, bags, and beer league sweaters. The hockey moms and hockey dads and everything else that makes this House of Hockey your home. Come on in. I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray.
And this is our house. Basketball season won't be around forever, so get in on all of the action now with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. DraftKings is giving new players a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Claim your free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes when using code THPN during signup. That's THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. Playing fantasy basketball is simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the sweat like never before. Every dunk, steal, assist means so much more with DraftKings daily fantasy lineup. Baseball fans, you may have missed out on the season-long fantasy. Now is your time to get in on all of the daily fantasy action, where DraftKings has even more ways for you to make it rain. With DraftKings, payday comes every day for players. So what are you waiting for? Head to the app now. Download DraftKings app now and use code THPN during signup. That's THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. This week, DraftKings is putting you in on the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. That's code THPN for the Hockey Podcast Network. And you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
This is the House of Hockey podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ray Ray.
And I'm your other host, Breezy. And we have a third co-host today. His name's Ringo.
Ringo is like hunting something out the window. I don't know what it is. Chipmunks. Okay, buddy. It's okay. It's okay. And... this is episode 57.
It is. And we have an awesome guest today. She brought the energy, which is ironic because she's a part of the energy team for the Florida Panthers.
Yes, her name is Gabby Allen, Gabrielle Red Allen. She explains her nickname Red, how she got into becoming the host for the Panthers, her journey of playing hockey, and her love for the team, which is very clear.
Yeah, she loves the team, which is awesome to see. We talk all things Florida Panthers and just Florida hockey in general, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You are going to understand why she has the job she has. She is so full of life and passion and knowledge, and you're going to really get a glimpse into what Panthers fans are like and what Panthers games are like. And of course, I had to ask her about Coach Q. So there's a fun little story about Coach Q as well. So stay tuned for that.
And speaking of that story, we're not going to, I guess I'm kind of going to give everybody a little peek, inside peek, I guess. But what would you do if you were stuck in an elevator with Coach Q?
Well, how much time do I have? Like stuck trapped in an elevator?
Or
like 15 second elevator pitch?
I say 15 to 30 second elevator pitch.
Okay. Here we go. Start the clock. Okay. I love you. Thank you for all of the championships. I'm so sad that you left. I love your mustache, but please tell me what really happened with Bowman and you leaving to go to the Panthers.
Ding.
Bowman didn't like my style of coaching. We disagreed on everything, and so I left. That's my guess.
You answered for him.
Yeah, that's my guess of what happened.
And as he's walking out, I like my mustache too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Love Q. Love me some Q. And miss him dearly. But anyway, we have to talk about one thing before we introduce a brand new segment. We are starting a new segment on the podcast that has yet to be named. But first, an unpopular hockey opinion. I need you to help me understand what's going on with the Canucks and the fans, and why is everybody all up in arms right now? And like boycotting the team. Too. I'm like so confused what's happening.
I'm super confused too. All I know is on my fantasy league, I have Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, and they're both out and they've been screwing my team. So I think I'm a part of that little fan base right now, just being okay. People up in arms. So,
well, 21 players and 4 staff members had tested positive for COVID. 6 games were postponed. But then because of that, I guess they aren't going to be doing a lot of trades at the trade deadline. And I think fans are upset about that. They're upset about extending some of the contracts and not adding to their roster in the way that they think they should. So now they're just like saying they're not a fan anymore. The Twitter is all abuzz because of this. And I mean, COVID is happening all around the world, and this isn't something that the Canucks organization plotted to do. Yeah. So I'm not really sure where the anger is coming from. I mean, yes, that sucks. That's really unfortunate. You've lost a season, but like we're lucky we even have a hockey season right now, and that the league is still going, and that we're going to get another season next year. So, you know, Dial it down a notch, just like I did this year with my expectations for the Blackhawks. And
I just think the Canucks fans know that they have such a talented team. I mean, they're young, they're hungry, they have, you know, a lot going on for them. They're just not really connecting and clicking like I think the fans want them to. They just signed Tanner Pearson to a 3-year extension, which I think is awesome. Tanner's a great player, but he has his good and his bad days. And sometimes it's a stretch of good play. Sometimes it's a stretch of bad play. So I think Canucks fans just need to be patient. I mean, they've been patient a long, long, long time. I know that. But I think this is an off year for everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that they just need to stick with the team. That's all you can do. Stick with them.
I think there's very extreme cases of full on, like, not becoming a fan or like ending your fan experience. Like, look at Buffalo. Sabres fans are enraged with the ownership, but they are not abandoning the team or the players or the franchise.
Yeah.
Canucks fans, take a page out of the book from Sabres fans. Give them a call. Tweet them for some advice, because
could you imagine getting like therapy from a Sabres fan right now? Like, you think you have it bad.
Right. Just remember, there are people out there who are in worse situations.
Yeah.
We've endured. Be grateful for what you do have.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? That would be crazy.
That would be funny. Or just call up Gabby and she'll give you great advice on being positive and giving you good vibes and everything will be okay.
Exactly. That's how you're going to feel after you listen to Gabby's interview. Yeah. Also in Gabby's interview, you're going to hear our new segment, because we have decided that our new segment, we are also going to ask all of our guests another question. So we're going to have a final four questions now. And I think people are going to enjoy this because it's very offhanded. It's very out of the world of hockey, 100%. Like, it's
the opposite. We're kind of just out of the world in general.
Maybe
really.
That's the name of the segment.
Out of this world. I don't know. We have to think of a name for it, and maybe we can have our listeners chime in and help out with a name.
Out of this world. Temporary name.
Temporary name. Out of this world. We are going to be sharing paranormal or extraterrestrial stories. I feel like everybody could, not everybody, but I feel like a lot of people are into it, are interested in it. I know probably everybody has some sort of a story of something, and it's just really cool to hear everybody else's experiences, kind of like what we do with hockey. We would like to hear everybody else's experiences with hockey. So kind of ties together, but not really. It's just something I'm super interested in. Ray Ray has a ton of stories. She's like the ghost whisperer, I guess. She can pick up ghosts at a bar and, I don't know, have a good time. So, and we've had a couple stories from our guests so far, which mm-hmm. is cool. And I got some in the archives that we'll be sharing over the next couple weeks. And yeah, I'm going to make sure Ray sends some of those out too.
Of course. I share my story for today. With Gabby. So you just have to listen to that. But I think because it happened like the day before I did the interview with Gabby. So mm-hmm. Ringo is part of that story. And you'll hear, oh, he's coming to join because he heard his name. And I think you need to tell me one of your many stories. Do you want to go extraterrestrial or paranormal?
Today I will go paranormal. Just because that's kind of what Gabby kind of went with.
Me too. Let's keep it paranormal today. Hit us with it, girl.
Okay, so paranormal. So my best friend, I grew up with him my entire life. Her name's Amanda. You know who Amanda is. You've met her before. Her older brother was getting married, and the night before the wedding, there's obviously a reception area. So it was me and Amanda and her best friend, Haley. The three of us drove up to Carpinteria for the rehearsal dinner. After the rehearsal dinner, we were driving back to our hotel in Santa Barbara, and we were going to kind of just change up a little bit. And then we were going to meet everybody in the hotel bar because there was like a cool little bar there. So my ways took me from Carpinteria to Santa Barbara, but through the back roads. And I was like, all right, like, whatever. It's kind of like a slower pace, super, super dark, like barely any lights, right? And all of a sudden, Amanda freaks out the same time I'm like kind of freaking out, and she yells at me to stop and like slow down. And so like I like tapped my brakes, but I didn't want to like overdo it. And we're like, whoa, like what's happening? And then because we saw someone. It was like an older man, and he was walking kind of like in the middle of the street, but like kind of off to the side a little bit. But the street was really narrow, so like I definitely would have hit him if like I didn't see him. And he went to go like turn, and as he like got into the light, he disappeared. And we're
what?
Like, what? And like we kind of looked at each other, and we're like, did you see that? And she goes, I saw it. Did you see that? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, I saw this. And she goes, I saw this. So we saw the exact same thing, same scenario, same everything. The rest of the car ride to the hotel, it took us like another like 10 minutes or something. We were like dead silent. So we check into the hotel. So just Amanda and I are going to go to the bar. The whole group of friends, there's probably like 30 of us there. We're all kind of hanging out, having a good time. And Amanda mentions it. She goes, the weirdest thing just happened. We both saw this. And this girl who lives in Santa Barbara, she was at the time dating one of our friends. She overheard us and she goes, wait, what happened? So she told her again and she goes, where was this? And we're like, oh, it's like in this general area. She goes, that happens often. We're like, what? And she goes, yeah, a few years ago, there was a landslide. And below where like the landslide hit was a senior citizen mobile home park, and a lot of people lost their lives. And so often people see elderly people walking, but then they just disappear. Yeah.
That is insane.
Crazy, right?
You saw a ghost.
Yeah. But it's crazy because like I feel like I've never really seen a ghost, but then like something like this happens, but like I don't have like things like getting thrown around or like weird stuff like happen. Like that would freak me the F out. But like seeing like this thing, I was like, that like wasn't scary to me, but it was scary at the same time, you know?
Right. Right. Cause you're like, oh, that's real. Like your mind goes, oh, that's a real person crossing the street. Yeah. So your brain's like, oh, okay. But then when it disappears, your mind's like, wait a minute.
And it wasn't like it disappeared into the dark. I know I said it was dark out, but like we ended up driving past, there was nobody there. It was like, all of a sudden it just like went into like a mist. Like just nothing was there.
That was a ghost for sure.
I'm pretty sure it was.
I think it had to be.
There was like five people that like were like, yeah, that happened.
yeah. You see things.
Hmm.
I just have people come visit and aggravate my dog or try to get my attention and move physical objects. So that's where we're at. Breezy, that story's insane.
That's a good one, huh?
Speaking of unexplained things, this is very relevant, and then we'll get to Gabby. Do you believe in mermaids? Do you believe in mermaids?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. You need to watch this documentary that I watched last night called Mermaids.
Is it the one with like the mermaid on the rock?
Yes. The Body Found from 2011 yes. documentary with real scientists who found a body of a mermaid in the body of a shark. They pieced it together, got confiscated by the Navy. A mermaid washed up on shore. They explained how humans could have evolved into sea animals. Like the brown bear became the polar bear, which can swim and has webbed feet. And we have webbed hands. Why do we have these? Why do we have these if we are not meant to be in the water? Why are we the only other animals that can hold our breath for long periods of time underwater? We cry salt. We sweat out salt. Salt water. There are so many parallels. And the footage that they show of this mermaid or different mermaids and the people they had on record, that is real. And the government keeps so much shit from us. And the government said, no, that's not a mermaid. No. We don't know what you're talking about. Well, they do that to control us.
Yeah, I've seen some documentaries and it's like, that is true. I might be the same one, but they were in like a submarine. And then all of a sudden, like the webbed hand just went like this. Boom.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, you're like, I don't know, like 4 miles deep. Like nothing with a hand like that is 4 miles deep. You can't even have a scuba diver out.
No.
Like that.
So more things for you to be afraid of in the ocean, Breezy.
Of course.
So if you see a pod of dolphins, just don't go in the water because that, like, there's a good chance there might be a mermaid man with them.
Although they say to get in the water with dolphins because then, you know, there's no sharks around.
Right.
Because dolphins will protect you.
And tell me there are mermaids. Dolphins protecting humans in the water? Hello. Where did they learn that? From millions of years ago when our species became mermaids. Boom. Proven.
Our podcast is proud to be on the Hockey Podcast Network. And the network is home to many other incredible podcasts, including this one.
Now a show that's going to give you the truth about the biggest epidemic of our times. We're All a Little Crazy.
We're All a Little Crazy is brought to you by the Same Here Global Mental Health Movement and the Hockey Podcast Network.
This is NHL great mental health advocate and member of the Same Here Alliance, Theo Fleury.
This is 20-year professional sports executive, mental health advocate, and founder of the hashtag Same Here Global Mental Health Movement, Eric Cusin.
This is Darren Revelle, sports business insider, mental health advocate, and founder of the Same Here Influencer Alliance.
We're so afraid as a society to rip the Band-Aid off the topic in a real way. Anytime you open up about something that's controversial or taboo, the first one through the wall always gets bloodied.
And that's why we're doing this. We don't mind being the ones getting bloodied. We put our stories out there well before it was a thing to do for a reason. Because as much as they're extreme examples of how far you can fall, they show everyone the challenging life experiences impact everyone, even those of us who have reached the top of our competitive industries.
The issue in media today, traditional media and social media, we are so quick to look for simple answers, simple explanations. We want everything wrapped in a bow. But this topic is messy. The nuances need to be explained.
Yeah, it needs real, long-form conversation like this.
I'm just thrilled that we can be real with people and address the current events happening in this space in real time and set the record straight. More talk happening doesn't mean it's helping the conversation move forward. The words we use matter.
We have the greatest mental health awareness in the history of our planet, and yet the mental health trends and outcomes are awful. It means the current messages aren't working.
Find me a person who hasn't faced trauma in their lives. Anyone. You can. Things have affected all of us. It's why we all say we are all a little crazy in our own unique ways.
This topic isn't for one in five of us with mental illness. It's for five in five whose mental health has been impacted. This isn't an athlete issue. It's not a musician issue. It's a societal one. This is the greatest epidemic of our time.
No, it's not about stopping any stigma. It's about us all saying same here. Our openness and the commonality in our struggles, that's what erodes stigma better and faster than any campaign telling people to stop anything ever will.
Available on all podcast apps. Do us a favor and download each episode before you listen. And if you're an Apple user, please rate and review the podcast as it helps us get these important conversations out to reach a larger audience.
This week's guest is Gabrielle Allen, a.k.a. Gabby, a.k.a. Red. You'll hear that story of why her nickname is Red coming up in just a few minutes. But she is a South Florida native, and she is the current events host for the Florida Panthers. She is also the in-game host for the MLB Houston Astros for spring training, because that takes place in Florida. And outside of work as a professional sports host, she is also a model. You are going to love this conversation with her. Even my dog Ringo agrees. And she is full of energy and stories and passion for the Florida Panthers. Enjoy our conversation with Gabby. Breezy doesn't curse. I do. I try to hone it in. Excuse me.
I'm working on it, though. I'm trying to, like, get out there. It was just drilled into my brain for
quite some time. Mm-hmm. Well, don't change. I mean, that's your thing now. Like,
but sometimes it feels really good just to say a word, you know?
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I love a good, my new favorite saying is, well, shit.
I really like that. With the accent, you need to really add the emphasis.
Yes.
It's from the comedian. He was on Will and Grace. He played Karen's arch nemesis. Oh my God. I should know his name. Leslie Jordan.
Okay. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. I remember watching that show.
Oh my God. He started doing this like whole Instagram thing during quarantine where he would just like hop on and be like laying in bed and be like, and he's got that Southern accent and be like, well, shit, what y'all doing, my fella hunkadanas? And like, I don't know.
Oh, I love it.
Stuck in my brain. So my clothing rack fell down off the wall like a week ago. And I just walked in and went, Well, shit.
No, I totally get when those stick with you because I started watching Love Island UK. And yes. And I talk to myself pretty regularly, but it's always in a British accent now. And it's hard to stop once you've started.
Okay, so give us an example. You.
Oh my gosh. Let me think. So I have this like weird thing. Whenever I'm doing a task, I either narrate it or I like sing it. And I get that from my grandmother. Like I'll just sing what I'm doing. And so I'll throw it in. So it's like, oh, I'm just taking a quick sip of my water here. And now I'm pretty hydrated. So I take it.
That's really good.
Thank you.
That's so good.
Thank you. That's a really posh British accent.
Thank you. Thank you. I have no idea like what part it comes from. I think I just mix in different dialects because what do I know? But
oh, that was really good. I'm like, oh, the Florida Panthers have a British in arena host. What?
Maybe that should be my new brand. I'll just switch it up one day, remix. And then I'll say, no, I was pretending the whole time so that I just like fit right in. But like, yeah. Here I am. Here we go.
Wasn't there a contestant on The Bachelor that had like a fake Australian accent or something?
Ooh, maybe. Honestly, good for her. That's pretty ballsy. And you know, I think she did remember that.
I think that's why. And they're like, wait, you don't have an accent? And she went, oops. Or she got caught off guard.
It's like that episode of Friends, if you guys seen when Ross does the accent when he's teaching and then he's like, just phase it out. And then like quickly, like, it's like, wait a second. That's different.
Oh man.
No. Nestle Tula Hausa. I could quote Friends references all day. Me too.
Like a sickening amount of times. It's like a comfort show though. So
yes, I could watch. I've watched it all just way too many times, but anyway, we digress. Tell everybody your name and then your nickname and then tell us the story behind it. I think we should start there.
From the beginning, obviously. We love the beginning. Yes. Yes. So my name is Gabrielle Allen, typically go by Gabby, up until, well, I guess like 3 years ago when I started working for the Panthers. So I graduated college in 2018. I went to the University of Miami where I studied communications and theater. I had like 2 weeks until I graduated and absolutely no job. And I was like, what am I going to do with my life? I have no idea. And nothing against, you know, a desk job. It just wasn't for me. There was just no way I was going to do that. So I was like, well, shit, what's my plan here? I had a friend who I went to high school with who was a part of the energy team for the Florida Panthers. So through social media, I saw what she was doing. And I was like, you know what? This looks really cool. Maybe there's something here for me. If nothing else, it'll buy some time with my parents. You know, so I don't, you know, have the, you know, my dad being like, what's the plan, Gab? What are we doing? So I was like, let me do this and we'll just see what happens. So it's my first day of auditions and I walk up. The first person I meet is this girl and she's like, hi, I'm Gabby. And I said, I'm Gabby. So we went through audition together. We both made the team. We're, you know, fast forward now, we're at like our first team meeting and everyone was like, well, it's obviously going to be confusing with the two of you. You know, do you have a nickname? And at the time, my captain was like, said something. Well, yeah, Red, because I have red hair. And it just kind of stuck ever since then. And my friend Gabby, she has blonde hair. So then it became Red and Yellow. And then there's definitely emails that were addressed to ketchup and mustard. And like my mother even calls Gabby, she's one of my best friends, calls her Yellow. Like we went from two Gabbies to no Gabbies. And yeah, so everybody calls me Red because of my hair, which I get from my mother. She gets the credit for that. So Red for Red. That's how.
I love that. It.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Ketchup so and mustard.
Yes. Yes.
Ketchup and mustard. That's funny.
Yeah. So like at work, it's Red and Yellow and that's just how it is, but it works. So, but when somebody does call Gabby, we both turn and answer anyways. So we kind of loop right back to being confusing. So it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Breezy goes by Breezy and
I like that.
I had to ask her like a year into our like friendship. I was like, "What's your real name?" Like, I don't even know what your actual name is.
I love the timing on that a year later.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the friendiversary. Yeah. So, let's get to know each other. What's your name?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's Breezy. Like maybe I don't care what her real name is. I'm never going to call her by her real name. So whatever. We talk about the important things like hockey and the Kings and
absolutely.
Right, Breeze? Did I totally miss the friendship mark?
No. Thank God you don't call me by my real name because I would probably die because I hate when people call me that. But it's funny though, because I also answer to Crazy because Crazy and Breezy sound so much alike. So I don't like do it intentionally, mm-hmm. but it's like if someone says crazy, I'm like, what?
And yeah, I could see that.
Though I get that too. In my house, with my dad being like somebody, dad and Gab always sounds the same. So that yeah. that would definitely get confusing sometimes. Yeah. But
it's good. Tough.
Yeah. Tough, so then after we established the red and yellow thing, that was my first season with them. That was 2018. And I started as a dancer and like performer in the stands. So primarily what I would be doing during a game, I'm running around, whether it's doing giveaways or a t-shirt toss or dancing. I got to really interact with the fans, especially before and after games. We're greeting them. You really get to know them. So that was really fun and exciting. We're bringing that hype, you know, regardless of how the team is performing, mm-hmm. Our job is to keep that energy, maintain that. And that also is true out in the community for any events that we're doing, you know, especially when the team is away. So we got to do that. And then it was our very last home game of that season. And during the season, I had kind of worked my way into more speaking roles in the sense, any social media videos or marketing videos, things like that with a script. I was like, you know, let's see what I got here. Let's see what I could do. And then kept working out.
This degree is going to pay off.
Something's in there. And very thankful to my boss. She gave me those opportunities. And thankfully, they've also worked out. So then I got to fill in and host a couple watch parties, got used to that. And then it was the last home game of that season. Both of our hosts couldn't be there. So they needed someone to fill in. So that was when it was time to, I did it in my uniform. Jumped in, host. That was my first time. And of course, I blacked out, absolutely blacked out. Not a single memory, but it happened because I've seen the footage. So it happened.
Words came out of the mouth.
They did. And I guess they were the right ones because they didn't pull me off. There wasn't like a cane that came up and pulled me off. So it went okay. And I just remember in that moment, I fell in love with it. Like, I just knew that's what I was supposed to be doing in that moment. It felt right. Like, it was just exactly what it needed to be. And then from there kind of grew into more of those roles and then became our watch party host, events host. And then whenever, you know, in the arena, when we need somebody to fill in, especially now when we typically have two hosts, but with COVID guidelines, everything is, you know, different. Our game presentation, it looks very different than usual. So the last one I hosted was against the Blackhawks a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That was my first time back on a mic in over a year since the pandemic, because I was also the in-game host for the Houston Astros. They do spring training in South Florida. So I was doing that at the same time. I would have a hockey game and a baseball game back to back. Those were long days, but it was really fun. Yeah. So definitely everything came to a very, very abrupt stop. We were gaining momentum, and don't get me wrong, I'm still fairly new. I'm working my way up, you know, finding those opportunities, you know, while we're in like the apocalypse. So, but it's been, I mean, the most rewarding, amazing. I will say this up and down. The Florida Panthers is my first love. Absolutely. Like, absolutely. Love it. I fell in love with hockey. My dad took me to my very first Panthers game when I was a kid, but we didn't really grow. We weren't a big hockey family, you know, especially ice hockey in South Florida. That's pretty unique. Of course, you know, there's not any snow here or any, you know, ice skating isn't a big thing. Maybe once a year on, you know, a school field trip. So, it wasn't until a couple of the guys I dated in high school and college, they were either hockey fans or Panthers fans. And so a lot of dates I went on was to Panthers games. So eventually I was like, all right, I see we're skating and I see we're fighting, but like, what's going on? So somebody started explaining the rules to me. I want to understand here. And then it just kind of happened that way. And then, like I mentioned before, that opportunity came up and got with the team, and now here we are, and it's been exceptionally rewarding, and especially this season it's been fantastic. So yeah, it is so awesome. It's so cool and so unique here in South Florida. So I'm very, you know, thankful for this team, absolutely, and I love it. I love this job.
I think that's probably the coolest job to have, is to be like on the, not on the ice, because I don't know, on this, and I can't ice skate, so it scares the crap out of me, but
I totally get it. So here's what's funny. I didn't know. So my first season, I was just in the stands, and still really fun, lots of cardio, Super fun though. You really are in, and you're in the crowd with the fans. I mean, it's very emotional. Like you are, and you know, sometimes when you play like big teams, you know, you're kind of overwhelmed, especially the section you're in, by the away team. So you have to keep the smiles and energy and everything going. And you're rooting for your team at the same time. So that's what I did my first season. My second season, I wasn't, you know, really sure if I was going to get that position or not. And I was like, you know, I want to be prepared either way. If I'm coming back in this role, I wanted to add that challenge. And so I think the season ended in April, come back for preseason in September usually. Yeah. So yeah. In that time in between, I spent every day I could at the ice den and I learned how to skate in like 4 or 5 months so that I could.
Did you have somebody teach you?
My coworker would come with me whenever he could. I'm indebted to him. He really was just so patient, taught me how to stop. And then you do really figure it out on like in the moment. So the way we run it on the ice, we have kind of sub teams on there. You have team one that goes down the penalty box side. My team goes the player box side and people on both nets who are scraping the ice. And I guess for anybody who doesn't know, we maintain the ice conditions, keep them up to NHL standards. So of course, you know, the players can do what they have to do, but we have 2 minutes. We have that TV timeout. You have to get on and off or the team is fined. So it's adrenaline, go, go, go. You have to be fast and get off. So it is interesting. I definitely got a lot better at stopping since I'm on the player's side. You have to keep your head on a swivel. You know, they don't always see you. You don't always see them. And you just have to stop really quick. And I've almost had a lot of collisions, but you just have to keep trucking, keep going. Sometimes the players do learn your patterns so that, you know, usually when I get over to the bench, I know Bob waits for the girl in front of me to go so he can go and then I can keep going. So we kind of just have that routine so we can do what we need to do. And it's like that, okay, all right, I see you, see me, and we're going. Not always that great. A couple of girls have had, I remember my first season, a girl, this was of course an accident. A player turned around and his stick was out, caught her in the mouth. She got a, you know, so we do, we, yes. You know, our teeth are at risk here too. So.
Yeah.
Sounds like
but it's so exciting. It is. It is just really, really cool to be. And it's going to be the coolest job I ever have because yeah. I'm really, you know, I'm in the sport essentially without having to play it or, you know, risking any injuries, yeah. But it is interesting. Nice. Yeah. It's super fun.
Honestly, have you ever forgotten your skate guard on one time? I was at a game and some girl just went, "Poof."
Yes. My coworker did. Never let her. Actually, it was the girl who I mentioned before who I saw her. She kind of got me on like into the team. Just like got me interested in it. It happened to her once. But now, you know, no, but now we know skate guard. Don't forget. And I did fall one time. I took one fall. It wasn't that bad though. It was my first time. We were going to a shootout. And so our protocol changes just slightly because we have less time. And instead of scooping up the ice, you're just pushing it against the boards. You're just clearing it quick. And so we're doing that. And I like caught the, I don't know how, what happened on my skate. And I just turned quick behind the net and I kind of checked myself into the board, fell down. I hear the guy behind me like, you're good. Get up. And let me tell you, I know you ice a wound, but when you smack your ass on the ice, it stings, but then you just pop up. But then you have to grab this like huge shovel and you're like shuffling around. You're like, oh my God, I'm holding up this entire game. And you're just like basically like slithering off the ice at that point, but it was all good. I don't think anybody really saw it. So I'll take it. It was just like a proper initiation, I think.
I think so.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, tell us about the fans. Tell us about Florida Panthers fans, because you're saying you're so entrenched in them mm-hmm. and the game and being a part of that. So how do you describe them? What's the arena like? What's the atmosphere like? Give us a little, paint a picture for us.
Sure. So I think, especially in my role working or hosting our watch parties, of course, pre-COVID and community events, even when it's not something that needs a host, just working them with our energy team. And we do a lot of events from, you know, marathons to hospital visits to festivals in the community, so many different things. And so I get to spend a lot of time with the fans. And so if I can describe in a few words, passionate and loyal. I mean, these are the fans that have been around since 93, you know, when we were, you know, playing in Miami, and then they've grown up and they've brought their families and kids into it. So you know, a few of my teammates even are so close with some of the fans and some of their kids, because also before, you know, typically, of course, again, before COVID, we spend the hour before puck drop out on the concourse and we're greeting the fans. We're seeing, you know, we're taking pictures of people who are traveling, you know, coming from Canada, coming from wherever, taking pictures, saying hello to seeing the same faces as usual. The kids run up, you know, you're giving them hugs. A friend of mine, she's even gone to one of the kids' birthday parties, like her family invited her. And another coworker of mine, there's these two young girls. They have a birthday within the same week. Their family comes to every game. And for the last 2 years, since their birthdays were in the same week, he's brought them gifts. And it's super sweet. So this year, since we were under lockdown, we actually went and we did that, the caravan parade thing.
Oh, yeah.
For like them. Car parade. We like brought out our Panthers flags and there was a few of us from the team who could make it. And we, you know, and I think, I mean, of course they love it, I'm sure, with the smiles, but it's so touching. Like, it's just so rewarding. For me personally, I think what I do for a living is based in having that human connection and sharing in that energy and camaraderie and that love. And, you know, you're in a relationship with this team, highs and lows, you are with them. And so having that bond with these people too, and you being that connection to the team, whether, you know, they get to go to a lot of games or they've only been to one game ever or never get to have that VIP meet the players experience, they get to really feel that. And we bring that to them. And that's super important that, you know, we give them that experience as well. And that's why too, even on my social media, and with my team, we try to show as much behind the scenes as we can just to get a different perspective. And I think that's even more important now that they can't be in the arena. You can't, you know, they're not even up in the stands or wherever they would usually sit. So just to have any pieces, it means a lot to share that with them because they, you know, they're the backbone of this team. You know, you need your fans. That's what, you know, you're doing that for. They, you know, they represent this city, the South Florida, you know, they keep hockey, you know, afloat. And so I love the interactions I get to have with them. It sucks this season because I'm not, you know, at the watch parties, that's when I mostly get to hang out with them and just shoot the shit, catch up, whatever it is. Or, you know, you're running through the arena and you see them. Hey, it's a quick, just like that familiar face. It's very comforting. And so the arena just really feels like home for me also because I've just spent so many minutes running around there and running in circles when I was first learning the building. But we really do bring such a good energy there, playing great music, especially now we do our reverse retro Saturdays. So like the best throwbacks, which I appreciate so much. Love it. Shout out to my parents for all the classic rock and everything. Love that. So, but yeah, no, we, you know, in our job too with the game presentation is to make that as special as possible. Even post game, usually we'll have an activity where the fans can come down and come on. We put carpets on the ice. They can come down. We set up a few nets, give them a stick, and they can take a shot into the net. And that's, you know, really a fun experience for them. And that's such a unique experience. So it's really fun. Every game is different because, you know, you never know, of course, how the team is going to play, but we have to bring that same energy. And I just like, I can't even help but get like cheeky about it because it's so fun and I miss the full experience. So, you know, next season, fingers crossed, it'll be back to total normalcy and everybody can be in the building and just really have it be fully electric. And so it's very exciting in a nutshell. Good. Very good.
You can tell you have a lot of passion and love. I
absolutely do. And it's funny too, like I mentioned before, not really growing up with hockey, just absolutely falling in love with the sport. And I still learn every day. Like sometimes I'm like, wait, I didn't, why was that a call? How, you know, I still try to ask and learn because I never played hockey, but it's definitely on the bucket list. One day I want to suit up full gear. I want to really do it. I'm going to have to vlog it, like the whole experience, because I want to do it. And then I won't be as nervous about falling because I'll be fully padded. Not like I'm in a crop top right now and it's very cold. A little chilly. So
yeah, you don't have like hip pads on or
no. And it's, my gosh. It's so funny. Last night, so during intermission, when the Zamboni goes, we're on the ice. So I'm one of the people on the ice. I'm fixing the net, you know, cleaning out the peg hole, you know, making sure it's what it needs to be. But when the ice is smooth and fresh, we have to be very careful the way we skate on it. You know, we can't stop like usual and scrape it up. And so last night, this is so funny. I was coming off the ice. I was carrying something, dropped it. And my reflex is just turn around, stop, pick it up. But then at the same time, I was like, shit, I can't stop like that. I'm going to fuck the ice. So I checked myself. I hip shoulder right into the board. And I'm like, okay, well, that was cute of me. And you keep going because like, you know, people see it and you're just like, Anyways, that never happened. And I'm going to just, wasn't me. It's darkness. You don't know it's me, except people. I'm the only one with red hair. So it's pretty thick.
You're like, I really know how to stop and I really know how to skate. It's just, yeah. I can't screw up the ice. So don't judge me.
Yeah. I'm like, judge, I'm not lying. Hip check. Suddenly the mask now goes over my eyes, not just the nose. I'm hiding my identity. Yeah. Shake it off. That wasn't even me. Never heard of her. It wasn't me.
So funny.
That is funny. No, it is. Would you say that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions about the Florida Panthers is the fan base? Because I know there's a lot going on around there that, like, not like very big or whatever, but I think just the passion that all the fans have together and like the energy team, like, you don't need to have a lot of people. You just need to have rowdy people. And I think that's what you guys do really well.
Yeah, I agree. Look, don't get me wrong. We have games when, you know, we have the balance goes in the other direction, and that's happened. But South Florida hockey, and I will include Tampa in that, the sport is big. It's real here. There are, and we get a lot of snowbirds here. People like the love for the sport is here. It really is. If anything, I think maybe just more people need to know that, like, hockey is here. And it's like, yes, hockey, but like it's you know, South Florida, it's fantastic, it's fun. And if hockey's not your cup of tea, then Thursday nights, $5 beers, come have a good time. You know what I mean? There is something for everyone in the building. I mean, those are Thursday, that's when I get my friends to come. I'm like, no, look, the incentives, yes, enjoy it, come spend your money. But
it sounds like you guys are really working too to, like, grow the sport with everything that you've mentioned so far of, of, you know, taking the times with kids, that's the future generation, and getting them on the ice and doing all the greetings and stuff. Like, that's all really important, not just for the Panthers organization, but also, you know, at the NHL and hockey as a whole. So it's refreshing to hear that.
Yeah. And it is. And like you mentioned, even with the kids, it's extremely rewarding in just what I do, because we get to do events where we visit a lot of hospitals around South Florida. And so we get to interact and, you know, visit the kids. And look, I'll be honest, it's not always, you know, flowers and rainbows. Like, we're visiting sick kids, you know, at the end of the day. And, you know, we're there to brighten their day. But, you know, that's heavy and it's hard. And so I've actually done a few hospital visits with a few of the players before. And so, you know, they really make it special. I mean, yeah, I'm there to, you know, bring smiles and happiness, but they want to see the players, obviously, not me. I'm just there to hand the gifts. You know, that's what I do. I'm just Santa Claus, basically, in that moment.
Hey, kids like Santa.
Exactly. I mean, I look nothing like him, but we can pretend. Why not?
You got the red thing going on.
Thank you. We'll take it. I'm going to grow a beard, so I'm prepared for when it comes time.
Maybe don't grow a beard.
So, but yeah, no, that actually, reminds me, the last one we did, I was with, Weegs, Brown, and Boyle. And I'm sure, as you guys know, Boyle is, in remission. He had leukemia, I believe it was. And so I just something that really stuck with me just was the way he could connect. Cause we were, the floor we were on had some kids and adults, but just the way he could connect and that relatability and just that warmth was just, I can tell how appreciative, you know, these people were. And just, like, it brightens you know, really makes your day. It makes it better. It's a change of whatever, but it's genuine. And I think that's important to, obviously, you know, we should be genuine always, but in those moments, you know, when that are more sensitive. But yeah, we do, the Panthers, we are really good about getting out in the community, giving back to the community. We have the Florida Panthers Foundation, you know, to give back to, and, you know, conservation and the Florida Panther, of course. So I really love the work that we do in the community. And so just keeping, you know, to keep increasing our brand awareness, letting more people know, and, you know, it definitely helps when our team plays well, and the more wins we get, it doesn't hurt. Absolutely. So it was a unique challenge during quarantine for my team. My boss and I created this idea to do like social media content. So we did this campaign, because that's when home workouts became a big thing. So we were doing Workout Wednesday. And so each different member of the team led a different workout. And I did this thing where I did a HIIT workout, and every exercise, it was like a play on words. I love me a good pun. So I did each exercise. So instead of like butt kicks, it was like butt sticks, or it squats was squats on goal. Like, so I did different things like that, just, you know, keep it cute. And, you know, even if they're not, you know, doing it, you can just watch it and be entertained. Like, that counts too.
We needed the entertainment for sure.
Yes. But you know, it allowed for us to get creative and find other ways that, you know, when things come back to quote unquote normal, we can still incorporate those things that worked and just even reach a bigger audience. You know, our fans don't just obviously have to be in South Florida. So it is really exciting, you know, as we keep growing and doing.
Well, you mentioned some of the players. What sure. other interactions do you have with the team or the players?
Sure.
And if you tell me that you have met Coach Q, I will be dead.
So I have a funny story. I have a funny story. So
because I love right after- him. Just, so, let me just let you know. Like,
well, let me say first. Let me preface this by saying we still keep kind of a distance, you know, to maintain professionalism. Of course, we work right. events. Yeah. So this was right after Q was brought on. And so it was over the summers during the off season. And we're in Broward County, which lately on Twitter, I'm seeing Barkov County is starting to trend. So just be on the lookout for that. But so this was over the summer. We did an event at our Broward County, it was like a town hall. So it was with all the officials. And the mayor was in, like, he set this up. So everybody in this meeting, that's very serious, let's go, you know, meeting, they didn't know we were coming. So it was me and the girl I mentioned before, me and Gabby, my partner in crime. And so we're like, okay, we're going to come out in the middle. They're going to be like, oh, we have one more thing on the agenda. We did this whole thing. So they ended up making it, I forget the date, but it's Coach Q Day in Broward County. It was really cool. So we go out, Stanley, our mascot, is there. We do a whole to do, you know, we're with county officials, Matt Caldwell, our president, he's there too. And it was a great event. Really cool. So event's over. We're leaving the building. This is in the dead heat summer, South Florida. It's hot outside. So we're all leaving at the same time and we're being escorted out. So of course we know where we're going. And so they're like, oh, here's the elevator. I am a pretty claustrophobic person. I avoid elevators at all time. One time I was going to a bar that was on a rooftop and I did go up 17 flights of stairs for happy hour. Like, I don't do elevators. So, but here's the thing, when you are with county officials and, you know, your coworkers and the coach and your president, you're going to get in that elevator. Like, I'm just getting, and this was, and I'm not kidding, the smallest. And it was also shaped triangular. It was so weird, like a rhombus. Like, it was just a weird, it was weird. Like, it was like Ripley's, believe it or not. I didn't understand it. So the tiniest elevator, and we all get in it together. We're all in the elevator. So, oh, did I not mention there's a 7-foot cat in the elevator with us? Right. So I'm cramped. It's all of us. And I think we didn't realize until we were already in, like, maybe we should have broken this up into groups, but there's no air conditioning. It's hot. I'm cramped in and I'm like, you can't, you just keep it together right now. Mm-hmm. Like, it also, this was all of like 15 seconds, but I'm living it in slow motion because I'm like, I'm in work. I'm like, okay, you're doing, I'm also, you know, for our mascot, he obviously doesn't speak. So, you know, keeping him maintained, it's hot. There's grown people in suits all around. And I'm, so we get the doors open and we all had that quick, like, nervous laughter, like sigh, like nobody said anything before. It was like just a quiet. And then it's like, oh, okay, we can relax. But it was, otherwise it was fun. We shared a laugh and then went about our business. But that was the first time I met Coach Q, was in the tiniest elevator that in this planet.
In the middle of a panic attack.
And yes, in the middle of a panic attack, it's 100 degrees outside. I'm in this like tight dress and sweating everywhere. And I'm like, anyways, have a great day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, at least you didn't get stuck in the elevator.
Yes, no. Exactly. It could have been way worse, but it's all good. So, but no, I mean, obviously he's done fantastic things for our team. We're doing a great job. So I'm really happy about that. But as far as interactions with players, one standout that I have was, this was last season because I was on the ice. Whenever we win, typically we have, you know, in the face-off circles, four of us will skate out with flags, each in a face-off circle. We wave the flag, our win song's playing. Stanley comes out on his little ATV and this giant flag, he, you know, rips out with the ATV, goes center ice, starts waving the flag. That's when we also do our three stars of the game. So for this game, this is when Trocheck was still on the team. He, I think, was our, like, the top star of the game. So they'll come out one at a time, they'll get a stick, skate around and then give it, you know, pass it over the boards to a kid in the stands. So Trocheck did that. He turns around. He's coming back, about to head towards the players' bench, you know, to head on into the locker room. But instead, he like made a quick turn, jumped on the ATV because Stanley wasn't on it, and started whipping around the ice. So it was so, you know, everybody was still in the building. It was so exciting. It was so fun. I'm like, wow, this is great. But I'm also like, he almost, I'm like, please don't crash into us, because like my balance, I'm holding a giant flag and my balance is already a little off. So we're, you know, keeping our head on a swivel here. But it was really, really cool. We missed Trocheck, a great personality. And, you know, when we played the Canes, the fans love him. So it's great when, you know, he's back in the building. And, but yeah, that was just a fun, fun interaction there. And just so definitely those people who were there, it was very memorable. So it was cute. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. No, yeah. Good,
wait a second. Mm-hmm. You're telling me that the mascot's name is Stanley, like
the yes, Stanley Sea Panther. Yes, that's the background behind it. Stanley Sea Panther. Yes, yes.
I feel like that's got, is that got some bad juju?
Like, no, not at all. I think it's like no. I'm not gonna look at that. It's foreshadowing. That's what we're gonna call it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because
ooh, that would make me so nervous. I would feel like because I'm superstitious about the cup, and I don't touch it when I've been around it. If it's not my team that's won. So like, I'm superstitious. So for me, that would cause some inner conflict. Like I wouldn't be able to take a picture with the mascot or like something like that, you know?
Well, I hope that's not true, because I've taken a lot of pictures with him. So. No, it's good luck. It's going to be for the best. Yeah. It's just been, we were just waiting our turn. We were being polite, but now it's all going to make sense. Okay. So then when we have the cup, it'll be like, yes. And Stanley C. Panther for our cup. And then we actually have a second mascot too. We have Victor E. Rat. So we have a rat as well. So that is actually based, and I'm going to have some of my information wrong here. Back in, I forget the player. I could look it up. But anyways, back in the early 2000s or whenever we were in the playoffs, anyways, there was a rat in the locker room, and one of the players like smacked the rat against the wall, killed the rat. And then he either got a hat trick. I forget exactly what it was. I'm blanking. I knew this. I should know this. But anyway, so because of that, that became like our good luck charm. So people at the end of games, whenever we win, throw rats onto the ice. So we have Stanley's our main mascot, but we also have Victor E. Rat, like Victory Rat, you know. So yeah, we
Scott
have
Mellonby.
Yes, Mellonby? I think. Yeah, Scott yeah, yeah. So yeah, I was in the locker room, whacked a rat, and then either we like won that game, or he like got a hat trick or something like that.
It was
then
good
we were, like,
luck.
On a yeah, it was good luck. And so ever since then, that's been our good luck. So we have our cat and our rat.
He scored 2 goals with the same stick that he used to kill the rat.
Yes, there we go.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So a little fun fact, we have 2 mascots, yes. But they're really fun. Cat and a rat. There you go.
Cat and a rat.
Almost Tom and Jerry.
Almost.
Almost.
Just Stanley and who? Stanley and
Victor.
Victor. Stanley and Victor.
Yes, yes.
Like just kind of sounds
just much larger. Yes, much larger and way less animated. Well, I guess they kind of are in their action. Yeah. So there's that.
That's true.
But so yes, we have both of them. It's really cool. And then and actually I just thought of this too. One of our very last games before quarantine, and this is just something cool I got to experience. We did Luongo's retirement ceremony, retired his jersey. And so that was just an awesome, awesome ceremony. It was super emotional. And it was just like, it felt like, wow, I'm living history right now, just like on the ice while this is happening. And that was just like, I was super giddy over that. Like that was just really, really, really cool. And kind of, you know, opened up, you know, closed out, you know, coming into this new era. You know, we've got Q, we've got this, you know, really strong team. And, you know, now we're on the, I think we play the Canes in Dallas this week. So it'll be really exciting. Yeah. Number one in the league right now. Fantastic. Love that. So
I don't think anybody predicted that.
Except for
maybe you.
Well, hey, we have been, we're the comeback cats. That's what we do.
I like it.
Yeah. I've only been to Panthers games. So I've seen, you know, every team come through there and play, but I haven't watched a game in another arena yet, which is funny because I spent a lot of time in LA. So I would love to, you know, see the Kings. I've never been to Chicago. I haven't been there yet. But yeah, that's another thing I'll add to the list, because we were supposed to host the All-Star game. So I know that sucks too. Like we didn't, you know, that didn't get to happen. That was, you know, very exciting. So I'm staying hopeful, everything when it's normal, it'll be fully normal, back to business as usual, you know, in the next season or, you know, whenever, maybe sooner, hopefully. So
maybe, yeah. Do you have like an ultimate bucket list arena that you'd want to go to other than like LA? Because you said that you were.
Okay. So I have to, I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of all the arenas, but I will say I would not be mad to go to a Preds game. Love Nashville, right on the strip there. Why not? That's the way to do it. The hype is there. I would love to go to a Preds game in Nashville. Even better, playing the Panthers. That would, you know, throw on my jersey. That would be the best.
That would be good.
That's probably the top of my list. Absolutely.
I would say, I mean, I haven't been to all the arenas, but I would say out of everyone that I have been to, the Preds, I mean, not being biased, is definitely probably the best one to go to because it's just so rowdy at all times.
Oh, well, I'm glad I picked a good one then because I was going to ask you what are the ones? Which ones? I'll start my list. What should I put on the list? Because that's, I have one right now. Yeah. One for one.
No, Ray, I don't know. Ray, you've been to a lot.
I've been to quite a few. I would definitely say you have to go to a Chicago Blackhawks game for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
At the United Center. That whole atmosphere in the arena is pretty crazy with the goal scoring song and the anthem, like cheering over the anthem. And there's a lot of like traditions and things like that that are interesting. I don't know that it's as rowdy as Nashville. I haven't been to a Preds game. Where else have I been that I was really impressed?
Maple Leafs
with?
Are really fun too. Their arena is insane. And it's
Yeah, see, I have to get to Canada. I need to bring my skates, go on a frozen lake. Yes. I want to live the cliche. And that's another thing. True Floridian, through and through. I've never been in the snow. I don't know. I have no snow on TV. That's it. I've never experienced snow.
Still,
I know. It just hasn't happened. I go to places that get snow and that are cold and it just like hasn't snowed. There's going to be this big like monumental experience I'm going to have. Maybe I will live like a Hallmark Christmas movie. Why. That's gotta be it. I don't know why else. I have to experience it.
Gabby, that's fake snow though.
I know. That's why my experience will be the real thing.
Okay.
It'll be actual. That's what I'm going to keep telling myself. I'm going to convince myself there's a good reason why it hasn't happened yet. And I'll get to it. It will. But yeah,
there's always a good reason. So I had never been in snowfall before. And the first time I went to, well, not the first time, I guess the first time I saw the Maple Leafs play at home, and Maple Leafs, they're really close to my heart. Snowfall. I walked out, started snowing. That's because cool.
You lived the Hallmark movie then.
Yeah. It did. I walked out, I was like, it's snowing. And everyone was looking at me like, what is wrong with you?
That's going to be me. Yeah. I know
it. Yeah.
Okay. Who is we ask everybody these questions, all guests. We ask them all these final three questions. Is your ultimate hockey hunk?
Okay. This is hard. Let me say it's also hard because a lot of the players, I don't know how old they are. And so I don't want to oh no, that's not okay. I don't want to, whatever. But I will say somebody who just came to mind, I do think Matt Barzal is a cutie, such a cutie. I think he is.
That's mine. That's I my mean, ultimate.
Really? Yes. Oh my goodness. They're I think gonna he's have to- just. So he's handsome. He is undeniably. I really do. And I know he's not like the obvious choice because there are lots of hunks. Absolutely. But yeah, no, he's a standout for me. He is. Absolutely. Good answer. Emily Few. Good answer.
He's a good one. Breezy's is Roman Yossi from the Preds.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Another good one.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Okay. That's my guy.
He's all over her bedroom.
All over.
Oh, okay, wait, now I'm sorry. I didn't actually even take a look at your background. I'm seeing.
Oh, yeah. I got a good friend sent that. Okay. He's there. I have a signed photo up there. And I have yours a banner.
Yours was a dead giveaway then.
Yeah. I think everyone, it's like drilled into everyone's brain at this point. It's like Roman Yossi. Oh, yep, me.
Oh, okay. Crazy. Okay. So
It's okay. We're filling in. Now, the second question is, who is your favorite hockey lady?
Hockey lady in general. Okay, well, I have to say, I'm going to say, I think also in my line of work and like the women I work with, I'm going to say like there's so many female like broadcasters mm-hmm. that I look up to and like go to, you know, for my journey and stuff. And so, you know, I'm gonna stay loyal to my team. And, you know, somebody who I've like seen, you know, even grow since I've been there is Jessica Blaylock. I mean, she's a fantastic sportscaster and she does baseball as well. So I can relate to both of those things. And so I have to, you know, as far as Hockey Lady, that's who comes to mind for me.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And the last question is, do you have a Sidney Crosby story?
I do not.
That's
do
okay.
I? No, I really don't. Oh, I wish I did though. Add that to the list. Get a store, Sidney yes. Crosby story.
Yep,
Snow yep. Arena's Sidney Crosby story.
Got yes. it. And, oh, and a Stanley Cup.
Yes. And that, well, that's the top. That's number one.
Of and course.
They all fall together. Yes.
Do you have either a paranormal or an extraterrestrial story?
I have a paranormal one. Yes. This is the moment when I was like, I was scared shitless. So I was like, oh, there's more to this. And that's actually how I started exploring more and got more in touch with my spirituality. So let me say, this was a couple years ago. My aunt had passed. Wonderful woman, most amazing woman, love her. So she had passed and we were all together. We were in California at the time because that's where the rest of my family is. And we were in my mom, my sister, my dad, and my cousin. We were in the hotel room going through some of her stuff. And we were looking for something very specific. My aunt has this, her homemade icing recipe and we needed to find it. It's like amazing. It has like Kahlua in it. It's delicious. And so we were looking through all of these, like the paperwork. And at the time, I remember my dad was asleep and we're just like in a hotel room and we're like rummaging through. It was kind of dark. So we're like, my cousin went to go turn the lamp. And we're like, no, it doesn't work. We tried, like, it's just not working. And like, she's like, well, is it plugged in? We're like, you can try. Just like, she's like, okay, let me not even bother. So we're rummaging. We open the box. I'm not even kidding. Turn to something. It's the first thing. It's like this little paper has it on there. And we're like, that was weird. And at the exact same moment, and we're like talking, of course, we're sharing memories about her. And the exact same moment, the lamp flickered and it wasn't plugged in. And everybody, you know, we started crying and they were freaking out. And I'm just like, I'm like shaking in my boots. I'm like, hi, Anjody, but like, please, like, this is kind of scary. Like, I'm also like, please don't be something bad. And I was like, if you're going to, and so, you know, it was very emotional, but like, that was like a very touching, you know, moment for all of us. And then, so that's when, you know, my mom hangs on to that too. And like, we all believe that was her. And then she did, you know, visited me in a dream later on. I was like, thank you. That's more on brand for me. I felt the love. Thank you. Not flickering lights, not for me. But so that was just like a crazy, you know, people will call it a coincidence, but that was my like paranormal, like standout for me. And so it was really nice. It really was.
Yeah, especially in the time. I would say that was definitely her. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
It's too coincidental to like not be.
Yes. And it's very on brand for her personality. She's a very like, she's like, I am here. I'm in the room. This is who I am. You're talking about me. I am here and I'm part of it. And you should continue talking about me.
Yeah.
She's so, like,
yeah,
you so finally found it.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm pretty sure I had a ghost in this very room last night because my dog Ringo was just like this, comatose, passed out asleep.
Okay.
And I was watching a show on Netflix and he woke up super startled and it wasn't the show. And there's like a light fixture in the middle of the room on the ceiling. And he just started bark growling at it, like straight up at the ceiling. There's nobody upstairs. The cat was in the room. There was like no one's there. Nothing's there. No one's walking. I put the TV on mute. It's not the TV. This went on for like 20 minutes. I could not calm them down. I had to like
a long time.
Yes. He was like very concerned and it was like not a regular dog like barking at like an intruder bark. And I'm sure you know that you have three German Shepherds.
Yeah. You can kind of tell their pitches, you know, like, I think like what, like babies, what they cry, moms know the type of cry, you know, their barks.
And he had done that before my dog at my apartment in LA. It was like all of a sudden out of nowhere, he starts barking distinctly up in the air at a corner. And I believe that animals can see things that we can't. And so, you know, I'm just like, okay, spirit, Like, even if you're good, like, you gotta go. You keep scaring my dog. He's very afraid. Go to the light. It's time for you to move on. And it kept going and it kept going. And I was more concerned about the dog being, like, upset by this than I am about it. And I said, listen, we're going out for our goodnight pee for the dog. When we come back, you better be gone. And so we went outside to pee and came back.
Oh my gosh.
And it was quiet the whole
time. And it's been okay since?
Yeah.
Well, not to be dramatic, but when you first started telling this story, there was like a weird like light that was like on the top corner, and then it looked like a hair that like fell down.
Yeah, there was a fuzz. There was a hair. Okay, thank God. I saw that.
Like, oh my God, he's back.
I'm like, he's waiting. He's waiting for her to be like, yeah, no, it's all good now. To be like, just kidding. Here we are.
And then your aunt's going to come in here and start flicking the light switch on me.
It's going to be a whole show now. And oh my gosh.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to be like, all right, Aunt. What is her name? Aunt Jody?
Yes,
Aunt Jody. Aunt Jody, you got to go, okay? Stress and get out.
Oh, gosh.
Go visit her in her dreams. Don't come to me. I'm not the person you want to talk to.
Oh, my gosh. That's just the grand finale at this point. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. They are the two stars of the game, I guess.
Oh, that's too funny.
Well, tell everybody where they can keep up with you and follow all of your adventures.
Yeah, so you, I mainly am pretty active on Instagram. That's where I post, you know, everything I can with Panthers and then my own other stuff. I do some modeling work too, so I get to work with cool brands and just kind of, you know, what I do in my day to day. So my Instagram is @Gab_Allen. So you'll find me right there on Instagram. And yeah, so come check it out. Say hello. Share some hockey stuff. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. Have a good rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you so much. No more ghosts. No more ghosts.
Tell Q I miss him.
Yes, I'll send a note. Absolutely.
Tell him all of Chicago Blackhawks fans miss him terribly. We wish him all the best.
Yes, absolutely. Just with us this time. You had your turn. Now it's ours.
I know. I hope he has continued success.
Yes. And, you know, it's looking good so far. So thank you guys again so much. It was such a pleasure to speak with both of you. Enjoy the rest of your week, season, day, year, everything. Only good things for both of you. And good luck with everything.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey podcast. We'll be back next week.